This is All of It. I'm Kushan Avadar. I'm in for Allison Stewart. When I say the word elder, what comes to your mind? Is it a parent, a mentor, someone you wished you had? It brings up questions for who exactly gets to be an elder. How old? Which experiences earned that title? These are the questions that Sterling Cruz Herr grappled with as an advocate for LGBTQ elders. As a transgender person in their 60s, Sterling worked with older trans people who had stories to tell. But they were missing something, a platform to tell them. Whenever we hear about older trans people, they're either part of a history book or, unfortunately, written in an obituary. Rarely do we see them be asked about their current life and their journeys. And that's what propelled Sterling to interview trans elders in an oral history project called Transgenerational, Trans Lives Across Time. You can read them in the LGBTQ magazine called Them. Reading about the activists, lawyers, actors, and musicians who share their stories of love, of pain, and self-discovery. This Sunday, we celebrate the Trans Day of Visibility, and what better way to honor these stories than to welcome the person who shepherded this project and to hear about those stories. So I'm joined by Sterling, and Sterling, thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure.
And listeners, we want to hear from you too. Do you want to shout out a trans elder that's made an impact in your life or, hey, society at large? Maybe you're a trans elder yourself and you want to share what your journey has been like. We want to hear your story. We're here to hear it. Call us or text us. The number is 212-433-9692. It's 212-433-WNYC. Or you can hit us up on social. We're at All of It WNYC. So, Sterling, before we dive into the trans elders you interviewed, I'd love to get to know just a little bit more about you. I understand that you were in your 50s when you decided to transition, right?
Yeah.
And when what made you decide, like, yep, now's the time?
I started working with younger trans people at SAGE, which is a national organization based in New York City. And we often hear older LGBT people saying, trying to tell younger people it gets better. Well, actually, it was the younger people who said to me, it can get better. Mm. You don't have to stay in any box that you don't belong. And I had struggled with a lifetime of low self-esteem and taken that out on myself over many, many years. And I had worked through a lot of issues. I didn't think necessarily that transitioning was any sort of silver bullet. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what kind of difference it would make. I can say 7 years in that I've never been happier, and I'm astounded by the difference that it has made.
When you say you've never been happier and you're astounded by the difference, is there a specific difference that you can point to there?
I wasn't supposed to have this life. I'm in Kingston, New York with a robust queer and trans community. I'm married to a beautiful woman almost 22 years. Mm-hmm. I'm having a creative sort of boom with what I'm doing on Instagram and resonating with younger people, starting a woodworking career. Like, my life feels like it's just beginning. And I have to say, I held life quite lightly. For many years, I felt like I was trying to run out the clock, and now I feel like I've got everything to live for.
Oh, that's beautifully said. And shout out to Kingston, New York, upstate. Why do you think the stories of trans elders aren't highlighted in society?
I think that, like much of the narratives focus on what's negative, and I think it's difficult to focus on the lightness and the brightness. And certainly the context of trans people, trans elders, is compounding discrimination over decades. But what I wanted to focus on and what I have experienced is the trans elders who are leaders in our community who, because of their perspectives, because of their willingness to resist deeply entrenched notions of what we have to be, they see the world in new and fresh ways, and they're leading in those ways. And so to identify trans leaders who identify as elders across the country was a thrilling series of conversations.
And in the series, you talk about that generational divide between trans elders and youth. Can we put a point on that? What does that generational divide look like to you?
I call it a transgenerational divide because gender has exacerbated it. From the get, we don't necessarily have natural gathering places. If we gather in bars, it's going to be age specific. We don't see that mix naturally. But what gender has done, and evolving language around gender has done, is to exacerbate those divides. And so the lesbian community that I grew up in, many older lesbians identify as trans exclusionary radical feminists who want to discredit the liberties that younger queer and trans people are accessing. It's truly heartbreaking. And I will say that older LGBT people across the board, I don't necessarily see us trying to create these connections, listening, educating ourselves to the differences in ways that would enable us to connect.
You know, we're starting to get some texts and calls in. I want to remind folks, we're talking to Sterling Cruz Herr, trans elder and equity consultant. In honor of Trans Day of Visibility, which is on Sunday, we're taking your calls. Do you have a person who is trans that you believe, especially trans elder, who's made a difference in your life or in society at large, give us a call or text us 212-433-9692. We got a text that I want to share. I was friends in high school with Leslie St. Clair. She went to San Francisco in 1971 and worked at the Gender Reassignment Service there. I don't remember the exact name. She was one of their early trans people transitioning in San Francisco. I wonder if your guest is familiar with her, and if not, they're welcome to call me after. Does that name ring a bell to you at all?
It doesn't.
Yeah. We've got a call in on line one. Esty from the Bronx. Hi, Esty. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a wonderful elder who was trans, Vicki Gray, who was a deacon in the Episcopal Church. And I also wanted to say that at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, we are going to have a day of trans joy and trans joy and resilience on Saturday, May 4th at noon. We wanted to celebrate the regular day of resiliency, but it's on Easter Sunday, this Sunday. So at St. John the Divine Cathedral, there's going to be a big celebration. There's a fantastic trans salsa group called Las Mariquitas. There's a trans choral group called Transcend, who's going to be there. There'll be Mexican food. So Saturday, May 4th at St. John the Divine Cathedral, please join us.
Esty, thank you so much for calling and for, you know, putting that opportunity open for everybody. Sterling, I'd love to get into some of the stories that you shared. So elder is a specific word here. Before we dive into the first story, how do you define the word elder? Who it gets to be an elder? Tell us about that.
I started identifying as an elder at about age 50, and I very much saw it as an aspirational state to me. And to, I think, most of the people I interviewed, being an elder wasn't about being older. Hmm. It's about a commitment to the people who follow and a grounding in the people who have come before us. So I think people can be an elder at younger and younger ages. One of the people I talked to was world famous Bob, who's a world famous burlesque performer. And they talk about how, and they're only 51, and they talk about how they identify as a young elder or a yelder. And the idea that many of their generation was wiped out through AIDS and drug overdoses still are. And they said, when a tidal wave wipes out half your village, you become older.
We have that clip ready. Great guess. Let's hear that clip right now.
I consider myself a yelder, and I just heard this term and I love it. I'm a young elder. And I will be honest with you that I've been asked to participate as an elder in conversation and in events since my late 40s. So I think there's a couple reasons why could somebody in their late 40s be an elder? A lot of my generation died from drug overdose in the 80s and 90s. And the generation before me, a lot of them died from AIDS. And some of my generation still died from AIDS. And when a tidal wave comes and sweeps away half the village, you become older. Not just, there are people who will never be 51.
In your other interviews, did you notice that similar story of becoming older, quote unquote, due to you know, mass death or catastrophe?
Well, certainly in the case of Tabitha Gonzalez, who is, her story is featured in the HBO documentary, The Stroll. And she talks about the trans women of color who were sex workers in the meatpacking district over a number of decades from the 70s to the 90s, and few of them are alive. And she didn't necessarily resonate with the term elder until we talked. She's in her early 50s, but she said, I'm far beyond my life expectancy, so I guess that's true.
We have that clip from Tabitha as well. Let's hear that in their words. Yep, Tabitha.
The most prominent one to me was Hawaii with my sister and my husband. That was the first time I've ever really traveled. And when we got there, I did not once had to address anyone or just show up in the world where I had to say my pronouns or identity and gender didn't matter. They treated like the reception there, everything about it was just a joyous feeling. Like I was existing without having to explain why I needed to exist. I didn't have to say, I'm a Black trans woman. Is it okay for me? It's my right to sit on this beach. It's my right to get in this boat. Like, I didn't have to ask to sit at the table. There were many tables that weren't so gender specific, and my identity wasn't the only thing that they saw. They saw the humanity.
Sterling, why was it important to highlight joy in this project, like you hear Tabitha talking about?
Because I think that this overcoming resistance, really recognizing the opportunity to live our lives fully, it's important for our young people to hear. I think it's also important for people at my age to hear that it is possible for me at 61 to be living a life now that I didn't realize 10 years ago I could have. And so the world is very, very hard. And the idea of talking about trans joy is counter to the current narrative, but certainly we're all hungering for it.
That hunger is such a big word there. What a beautiful word to choose. And how quickly it can change too. You know, you're saying 10 years ago you didn't expect it, and you came, correct me if I'm wrong, transitioned in your 50s. Mm-hmm. And that's 50 years before, and 10 years, that's a fifth. Mm-hmm. That's wild. We've got Lisa in Newark, New Jersey. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, and I really appreciate this conversation. It's important, especially given the Trans Visibility Day coming up. I wanted to spotlight another trans woman of color who has radicalized me in the way that we talk about these things, especially in entertainment. T.S. Madison, you in the previous clip mentioned sex workers, and that is a path that a lot of trans people have to take. And T.S. Madison was one of the first openly out there sex workers that I had experience with in entertainment, and just to see how she's transitioned from that into becoming this global acknowledged star and receiving a Grammy and an Emmy, and her fearlessness when it comes to highlighting the conversation that needs to happen in the Black community about trans identities and how do we create spaces for those voices, not only just in representation, but across the board, in front of the camera, behind.
Lisa,
T.S. Madison just deserves all the flowers.
Lisa, thank you so much for that call. You cut out right at the end there, but we really appreciate you taking the time. And one thing that Lisa was talking about is celebrating people who unfortunately are no longer here with us. It'd be remiss to talk about Trans Elders Day without mentioning Cecilia Gentile. Did I say that correctly? Mm-hmm. She was an icon and a mother to so many. She passed away at age 52 on February 6th this year. Hundreds of queer folks gathered at her memorial last month. Can you share a little bit about her life and legacy?
I think what's important to remember about all these people is it's hard enough just to survive a life where you're being actively oppressed. But what we're talking about with the people like Cecilia is people who not only survive, but not only who thrive, but who take responsibility, who thrive. So Cecilia is a noted nonprofit leader, noted in the policy space, noted author, and spent so much time caring for individuals in our community. Mm-hmm. And so the levels of giving that we see from trans leaders like Cecilia, that love and honor is all due to her, her tremendous lifetime of generosity and achievement.
And, you know, thinking about that theme of it never being too late to follow your heart, like yourself, some of the folks you interviewed transitioned later in life. And I want to talk about Mia Yamamoto, who's a defense attorney and activist. Could you share a little bit about who she was as a lawyer and activist?
She, I believe, was one of the first criminal defense attorneys in the state of California. She was born in a Japanese concentration camp. And so she decided from an early age, she saw what life was like behind barbed wire, as she mm-hmm. says, and she decided to defend people. And so she did that for many decades, but she was already fighting the fight of getting Asian people represented, women represented, really coalition building to overcome oppression. And it wasn't until she was much older that she decided to transition.
What do you hope younger folks or anyone from that matter gains from Mia's story?
That it's never too late to follow your heart. And I think it's never too early.
Mm. And you mentioned, you know, anyone being able to take something from this elder or otherwise. In the spirit of generational exchange, I did want to bring in a youth voice, too. We have Cisne Cisneros, who's organizer of Body Hack, a nightlife collective, and wants to create space for young trans people to seek out community. Hi, Cisne. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm well.
Can you share a bit more about what Body Hack is?
Yeah, Body Hack is an international mutual aid collective that strives to build solidarity and bridges between different cities and countries amongst the trans community. We use our platform to uplift like grassroots organizations and trans individuals, specifically in our community, that are in need of direct aid. So we have a monthly residency at Nowadays, which is a club in Ridgewood, Queens, which doubles as a party gathering platform that helps us raise funds for these initiatives. And it's been a really amazing journey so far.
Cisne.
We've been doing it for the last 5 years.
Uh-huh. Sorry. No, please. You've been doing it for the last 5 years.
Yeah, this year is our sixth year organizing, and we've been growing exponentially to just aid folks across the country and across Latin America.
Wonderful. Cisne, thank you so much for that call and for the work that you're doing. And Sterling, you know, at the very beginning, we asked why now when you decided to transition, and you said, well, it wasn't elders. It was me looking at the youth and them telling me that it could be okay, right? When you listen to folks like Cisne and what they're doing, how does that resonate for you? And what are you doing to help integrate these two sides, the elders and the youth?
I think I'm focusing on helping my peers, my age peers, understand what younger people have to offer us. Mm. So, for instance, I talk a lot about how I believe that those of us who are elders are immigrants to the kinder way that many younger queers especially think about when they think about inclusion and welcome. Mm. And so I've been schooled by a younger queer I know. We were at a coffee shop, and there was a woman, and she had purple hair. And my friend said, "That's my next hair color." And I said, "But you'll do it better." And she looked at me and she said, "Sterling, it doesn't have to be that way." She said, "She's perfectly lovely." And I realized that she was schooling me. And I think so many young people do. We can listen to them and we can learn so much. And when I talk to corporate leaders, I say, we are going to become irrelevant if we don't understand these shifts, not just about gender, but about this kinder, more inclusive way.
So you're saying there's a different mentality that you're seeing, an evolved
Absolutely.
Mentality maybe?
I believe so.
Yeah. Is there something you yourself want to do in collaboration with younger trans folks? I hear you talking, when you talk to corporate leaders, you're saying, hey, we need to engage. What does that look like for you?
Well, again, I think that very little attention has been focused on boomers. And so I did this clip on Instagram of teaching people. It was a group of people. The average age was 65. The oldest was 86, teaching them Trans 101. Mm-hmm. I put a clip up on Instagram. Over 200,000 people have viewed that clip. And so I'm responding with saying, let's do Trans 101 for boomers. And I have so many young people say, thank you for doing that work. I don't want to do that work. So I, just like as a white person, I need to be talking to other white people about anti-blackness. Mm-hmm. I feel like I need to talk about transphobia to people who are my age to say, come on, let's get it together. Our young people deserve it.
Yeah. And it makes me think of allyship too. Like what, how do you suggest allies engage with that?
I think the first step in addressing disinformation is educating ourselves. And I will say, when I started trying to understand kind of more modern language around non-binary identities, et cetera, I found it very, very difficult. And when I talk to younger people, they get frustrated. And so I went through a 3-day training at the Trans Training Institute and have trained thousands of people. And I understand why older people struggle with these concepts. And I try and slow it down enough because the desire to be supportive in their communities is widely there. I train New York City employees. The will is there. We've just got to support people in that.
And what you've done has created a platform to share those stories, and I'm sure many people are going to benefit from it. We've been talking with Sterling Cruz Herr, trans elder and equity consultant, the Trans Day of Visibility, Intergenerational Conversation. The Trans Day of Visibility is coming up on Sunday. Thank you so much, Sterling.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.